Welcome into Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brennan. I'm joined by Darius Austin. How are you doing tonight, Darius?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Ben. Looking forward to chatting some baseball with you. I guess this is the first time we've done this since about this time last year, right?
Yeah, last year I think we belted out like four previews in the span of a week or something of that nature. Just kept doing back-to-back shows. And this year we only have one, unfortunately, so...
Yeah, Justin's gone and hired too many people, so they've taken all the previews away from us.
Yeah, well, it's weird because I think I'm on half the team previews.
But I guess it's just me then. I've only done four this year. So,
I mean, at the same point in time, there was a bunch that didn't have people assigned, so I took them, and then, you know, I just went from there. And then people were like, oh, can you fill in? Can you do this? Can you do that? So, you know, after a while, it just adds up, so... That's the problem with being able to record everything. Everyone wants you to do it.
Yeah, you just brought that upon yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Darius, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64, and you can now find all my fantasy stuff over at Baseball Prospectus, where I've been writing for a few weeks. Go and check that out. There's a lot of great stuff coming, and there's about 20 articles per week for every position going up there. So a lot of cool stuff going on there.
Yeah, congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. It was very exciting to get the call and surprising. And I certainly wouldn't have done it without all the experience I got at FWFB. So it's fun to be over there with a lot of great writers. And I'm glad I can still keep doing podcasts with you guys because, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. You can find me on Twitter at bbrennisfwfb. Today we're going to be talking about the Boston Red Sox, who... have a good complement of young players, have a lot of players that have a lot of potential this season, and they have a couple good pitchers in the rotation. So why don't we just jump right in, Darius?
Yep, let's go for it.
Why don't we go from the outfield from left to right? We'll start with Andrew Benintendi. What are your thoughts on Benintendi coming into this season? Is he a top 25 outfielder for you?
Yeah, I think he is. The draft price looks... a little bit rich for me now. I think NFBC is kind of going mid-40s at the moment, and I guess people are projecting him even more now. I think some people were a little bit disappointed last season just because they kind of saw him being Rookie of the Year, and then Aaron Judge kind of came along and ruined that. But he still went 20-20. He wasn't overmatched really in his first full year. A decent batting average, good walk rate. He's got a great approach at the plate, I think. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident in his future. I think he's got a very safe floor, really. I don't worry about him cratering. I just wonder whether that draft price is kind of maybe already baking in quite a lot of the upside.
Yeah, I don't worry about his floor or anything of that nature. And the thing is it's nice that he can have some steals and that he has some good pop. And along with that, he has a reasonable average. You know, you see plenty of 20 home run hitters who are hitting like 250 and such, and it's not helpful. And you'll see plenty of people who have 20 stolen base capability and will hit 250. So the fact that he's able to hit at least 270 and could even potentially hit like a 290, it gives a lot of value to someone like Benintendi, even if his draft day price is a little bit higher than expected.
Yeah, the one thing I want to watch with him as well is I was digging through his splits earlier, and he's been pretty bad against lefties so far. Literally no power. He's got one home run against them in 164 major league play appearances. So it's a small sample so far, but he has been pretty bad, certainly from a power perspective against left-handers. So I kind of want to see some improvement on that side before I'm willing to project him as anything more than like a back-end top 20 outfielder right now.
Yeah, I can totally get behind that. Why don't we move to center field, where we're going to be talking about Jack Bradley Jr., who had somewhat of a disappointing year. We do know that he's a streaky type of player, but what are your thoughts on Bradley Jr. this year? Is he someone that you're looking to kind of peg as someone who could be a potential sleeper for you, or is this someone, because of how inconsistent he is, you want to avoid?
I think that the price is such that he's worth a shot as a sleeper. I think the tools are there for him, and it seems like a guy where the approach just needs to improve for him to tap into it. He's had the kind of shown the power upside hitting 25 plus homers a couple of years ago, and he's obviously got speed. He's great in the outfield. His base running numbers are really good. He doesn't seem to attempt steals that often. So I think everything's kind of in there for someone who could do maybe not the batting average of Benintendi, but certainly the other numbers I think Bradley could come pretty close to. And he's going kind of back end of the top 300 right now, which is a pretty decent price, especially if the Red Sox lineup can kind of get it going a little bit more this year. So yeah, I think he's worth a shot back there, and he may well frustrate you because I think he is pretty inconsistent and there is still a decent amount of swing and miss there. But I could certainly see he's a player that's got the tools that if he figures a few things out, then he could provide a lot of upside.
Yeah, I like him for the upside that he can provide because of the power speed combo. The problem is when you're sending in the bottom third of the lineup, they clearly don't have as much confidence that he's necessarily going to get out of the funk, because he's the type of player that could hit at the top three part of the lineup. But at the same point in time, their top third of the lineup, you know, with Betts, Benintendi, and Bogaerts, it's tough to make any of them move out of that top three spot. But at the same point in time, hitting down there will take at-bats away. It will take plate appearances away. And there's not as much protection for him, and he may not want to run as much, because if he's hitting down there and Betts is on, are you really going to run? And then, you know, it just depends on the type of opportunities that he has. So I think by hitting in that bottom third, it kind of takes away some of his ability to get those steals. What are your thoughts on Mookie Betts? Is he someone who's a clear top choice first-round pick for you?
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's been an incredible player basically ever since he hit the majors, and the only blip on his record really is that he was a little bit disappointing in batting average last year, but I think he just got super unlucky on balls in play. He's a guy whose his profile really suggests he should be running an above average BABIP, and I think he had a 268. So I envision that going way back up, and he's had 50 homers plus steals in each of the past two seasons, so he's given you a bit of everything, over 100 runs in RBI in those seasons as well. So yeah, I think this is a five category stud, and you'll see the batting average climb back up towards 300 again. So yeah, no doubt first rounder for me.
If you would bet on him hitting either 30 home runs or 30 stolen bases this year, what would you project to be the easier stat for him to hit?
I might lean towards the steals. I think that's kind of his game is maybe a little bit more tilted towards that, and I think when the 2016 homer total came, I maybe thought that was a little bit on the high side, so I would lean that way. But honestly, he's so good in both categories that I think that the error bars, it's well within reason that he could do either, if not both.
Yeah, I think it is possible for him to hit both. He's had 26 stolen bases for each of the last 2 years, so clearly there's some consistency there. And obviously, like you were saying, 100 plus runs in RBIs is fantastic, especially for someone at the leadoff spot. Now, there will be times in which he hits third, but he's basically like a Charlie Blackman. He can do legitimately every single thing in the five category. Those are the type of players that you really want, and that's why he's a top-tier outfielder. While we move on to the diamond, and we're going to go and look at Rafael Devers, what are your thoughts on Devers as he comes up and has his first full season in the bigs?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see more of him. He looked pretty great last year. He's obviously got serious power. He's got a plus hit tool as well, and he really didn't struggle all that much in his first taste of the bigs. So I'm excited to see him play a full season. I think he showed last year that he's going to stick, and it's just a case of whether he has a ton more adjustments to make, and maybe that could ding him a little bit in the batting average if he does have stretches where he struggles. But I think there's a lot of great skills here, and yeah, I was very impressed by the debut, and I think I saw someone tweet that he actually kind of Baseball Prospectus do a strength of schedule difficulty for every player, and I think Davis had the hardest schedule of any player last year, all of the pitches he faced. So it wasn't like he was just getting these homers and hits off bad pitches. We remember the Aroldis Chapman home run that he hit. So yeah, I was really impressed, and I'm excited to see him play a full year.
Yeah, it will be good, because I think he's the type of player who could hit 20 home runs in his first full season with pretty relative ease. I think that he could be someone who's a solid contributor in runs and RBIs. You know, if he would hit 80 for both of those this year, I wouldn't be totally surprised because of the type of pedigree that he has. It's nice that he had three stolen bases in the 222 at bats. Do you expect him to be able to maybe be consistent in getting, you know, 7 to 8 steals for the year, maybe even double digits?
Yeah, I think he can. He moves surprisingly well for a guy as big as he is. And I think the scouting reports have commented before on his, how good his base running skills are, considering that. So I think certainly in his early years, I wouldn't be surprised to see him chip in that 7 to 8 steal range at least. I know there are a lot of concerns about how he's going to age and whether he ends up at first base because he starts to move less well. But I think in these early years, you can probably bank on him giving you a few steals as well.
Yeah, it will be good to see what he's able to contribute, and hopefully he's able to keep maintaining a 280 plus average. That will be useful for someone in their young age, and obviously in a keeper dynasty league, this is someone that you should hold on to, and that you could be pretty pretty safe and concerned that you're going to end up having one of the top third basemen within the next few years if he continues to meet those projections. So. What are your thoughts on Xander Bogaerts? Because he had a pretty disappointing year last year. I mean, he still scored 94 runs, but he only had 10 home runs, 15 steals, a .273 average, 62 RBIs. The year before, he had over 150. He had 115 runs, over 20 home runs. He had .294 and had 89 RBIs. Which season are you most likely going to get this year?
Yeah, he's just all over the place, isn't he? I think the batting average is what I'm most confident in at this stage, but the power was so disappointing, and the metrics kind of back this up. The StatCast data was not complimentary about him. He was one of the weakest hitters in baseball by exit velocity, didn't barrel the ball at all. His barrels per plate appearance was the same as Cliff Pennington, believe it or not. Fly ball line drive exit velocity was with like Martin Prado and James McCann. These are not names that you want to see from someone who I think we thought would have a bit more power than this. The stolen base acumen seems pretty good. I think you can count on him for mid-teen steals, but I honestly could see him, you know, jumping back up to the 20 home runs that he hit a couple of years ago, or still being disappointing in that category, because he's just been all over the place over his major league career so far, and I honestly don't know where to project him in that, or why he was so far down in terms of the power in 2017.
Yeah, it was really disappointing, because I had him topped as a pegged as a top three shortstop coming into last year, if I recall, and he really didn't do anything to make me feel any confidence that he could return to that. I mean, he was 11th on the player radar last year in a standard 5x5, so there's that. But at the same point in time, with what you're paying for him in the draft, you're not paying for, you know, a top 11 player. You're paying for someone who should give you top 5 value, and he didn't really come anywhere near that. He started off so slow. It took forever for him to get a home run last year. I can't project where his home run total is going to be this year. I'd like to think he could hit like 17, but at the same point in time, it's all over the place, like you said. The only thing I feel consistent about is that I think he's going to score 90-plus runs and that he'll have about 15 to 20 stolen bases. I know he's capable of hitting .300, but we'll see if he's actually able to return to that type of batting average, especially in this type of lineup, so. Is there any fantasy value for Dustin Pedroia this year outside of an AL-only league or a deep league?
It's hard to see. I think he can be more valuable in those leagues because when he does get back, and he has had knee surgery in the off-season, so his status for opening day is still up in the air a bit. But I think when he's back, you know that he's going to play. He was basically hurt all of last year, and he still played most of it until he physically couldn't anymore. So I think there's value in those at-bats, and you know he's going to hit for average because he doesn't strike out, and he's always been good at hitting line drives. But other than that, I could see you getting almost nothing. The power is not really kind of come along with the rest of the league. While the league has been hitting more and more home runs, Pedroia has been hitting less and less. And I think that the speed has gotten pretty bad. He's barely above 50% success rate over the last few years. And I guess he's a veteran guy, and maybe he gets to run when he wants to run. But if I was Red Sox manager, I don't think I would be giving Pedroia the green light very often, because I think the speed is gone, and he's 34 and he's just had knee surgery. So, yeah, if you're in a deep league and he looks like he's going to get back early-ish in the season, then I think he's got some playing time value with a bit of batting average. But I think there could be almost zero power and zero speed from him.
Yeah, I'm not banking on anything. I think if I'm in the league, I'm taking him as a middle infielder for the average and the fact that he's going to get RBI production. But you're not really getting any counting stats with him. He's similar to a Martin Prado-type player who doesn't supply a lot of home runs or steals, but he'll get RBIs because of where he's hitting and his consistency to keep hitting and have a decent average. But outside of that, there's not a lot of value in someone like a Dustin Pedroia, I feel. Is there any value for you at first base between Hanley and Mitch Moreland, or are you kind of just waiting to see what happens with this and potentially just using them as corner infielder / utility players?
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to commit yourself to anything more than that. We have seen Hanley not so long ago have a great fantasy season. He hit 30 homers and had 111 RBI with a .286 average in 2016. So that was obviously a great fantasy year, and he really struggled last season, had some shoulder issues, and he had his highest strikeout rate of his career as well, which was still pretty good for, relative to the league. But I think there's indications that his bat is slowing down. He's been pretty bad against fastballs the last couple of years as well. So I think he might just not be catching up to those pitches the way he used to. And Moreland is a very solid, I would say, but unspectacular. You're going to get low 20 home runs, assuming he gets the full-time playing time, and a .250-ish batting average. He's a safe floor guy, I think, assuming that the playing time doesn't go away, but you're not going to get a massive amount of upside. So definitely a corner infield fallback for me. And as we were kind of talking about a bit before the show, we still don't really know what's going on with the free agent market and whether they do pick up someone like JD Martinez, who'll make this situation even more confused.
Yeah, I think if I was going to bet on someone, I'm actually betting on Moreland to have the better year, which is kind of sad. I'm just not sure if Hanley's going to be the type of player who can stay healthy. Obviously, we've seen the injuries kind of catch up to him. But if they're going to both keep hitting for the average, I think that Moreland's going to be in a better RBI situation, especially if he's batting cleanup and Hanley's batting fifth. I just think that there's better opportunity for counting stats for Moreland, especially since they're both probably going to hit between 20 to 25 home runs with roughly a .250 average. So there's not a lot to make me think that Hanley's going to really just do better. And, I mean, we'll see what happens as the year progresses. What about this catcher situation? As of right now, they have Vasquez as starting catcher, but they have Leon in the minors. They have Swihart. Is there any fantasy value between any of these three?
It's very hard to see it for me. Something that I've been thinking about a bit lately, and I wrote a bit about this at BP, was the fact that teams are splitting their catcher duties more than they ever have. We got a lot of catchers kind of getting the 300 to 400 plate appearance range and not really pushing any further than that. And that's what both Leon and Vasquez were last year. They were in between 300 and 400 plate appearances. So the counting stats are not going to be great. Neither of them's got massive upside in terms of power anyway. And Vasquez is, you know, he did hit for average, but he also had to do that with a .348 BABIP. So I see that coming down. And if he doesn't get that much playing time, then the average isn't going to help you a huge amount anyway. So I think the only situations you want to pick one of these guys is, you know, two catcher leagues where you're just looking for someone who's not going to kill you. And Swihart is out of options, so I think they're stuck with him on the roster and see what they can do with him. He's clearly got the most defensive upside based on his pedigree, but he hasn't really hit. He still didn't hit in AAA in 2017, and I think he's had a lot of interrupted development. They messed around with him in the outfield, and then he broke his ankle in 2016. So if he's not going to actually stick behind the plate, it's really hard to see him being that valuable for fantasy when the bat hasn't come along the way we hoped it would.
Yeah, I don't really want any part of any of these guys. I mean, I guess I'll take Vasquez just because he's pegged as a starter right now, and he's a catcher-eligible player who's actually in the bigs. So I guess in two-catcher league, I'm banking on him, but I'm not really expecting any value from them this year. I think that it's more likely that JD Martinez signs here and actually is productive than you actually get any production out of these catchers. And as of right now, we don't even know if JD's going to sign here. So the fact that I think that is... it shows how much confidence I have in these catchers. Do you think that there is any chance that JD Martinez signs here?
I think there's a chance that there don't seem to be many other teams that are actually being talked about, and it's pretty difficult to know what's going to happen with the free agent market because, as we all know at this point, it's very different to what we've seen in the past few seasons. So it doesn't seem like the roster is that well set up for them to sign him. Somebody's going to get shunted out of playing time if it happens, and maybe it is Hanley, and Hanley's finished anyway, and that doesn't make too much difference, I guess. But yeah, it seems like Boris is asking for way more than what the Red Sox want to pay, and I think there's a lot going on with this free agent market that makes it pretty difficult to predict. We all expected somebody big to have signed by now, and it's, we're recording this January 23rd and still basically nothing. So yeah, I think they're probably the biggest chance, but that's maybe not really a huge percentage chance overall.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to sign. I don't really have a great lot of confidence, but there hasn't been a lot of market value in Martinez, it feels like. So if he does come in and he plays DH, I expect him to still have his power and his average and everything. And obviously then we have to worry about what happens with Hanley and Moreland over at first, and that will become even more of a disaster. So that's something to look forward to, I suppose. Is there any other hairs that you want to talk about?
No, I think that covers it, really. I think we've got, obviously, someone's going to fill in for Pedroia. It looks like that's probably Marco Hernandez in the early going, or maybe Brock Holt does his usual utility job and slots in there for Pedroia for a bit. But I don't think either of them are really worth talking about in terms of a long-term option for fantasy.
Why don't we move over to the pitching side of things, and we're going to start off with one of the best pitchers in baseball. That's Chris Sale. Chris Sale is clearly a top five starter. Is there any chance that you consider taking him as the number one starter this year?
I don't think so, no. I tend to just want to wait on these guys and take which of them falls to the later part of the group. So I don't think I would ever consider taking Sale number one. If I wasn't going to take Kershaw, I'd probably go for Scherzer just because of the National League advantage, if nothing else. But you can't really quibble with his results. 300 strikeouts is insane, and he did wear down a little bit towards the end of the season, but that's kind of a minor quibble from one of the best players in baseball. So he's not number one for me, but he's extremely close.
Yeah, he's close for me. I mean, I'm still a big Kershaw guy, and I love Scherzer. But, I mean, he's going to get you – he could easily get you 300 strikeouts. He's consistent to get you 200 innings. He's the type of guy who, if he's above 3 with an ERA, you consider it a disappointment of a season. And he's the type of pitcher who can consistently have a sub-1 whip. So I'm not really sure if there's anything – any black marks or anything on this guy's record that you are like, you know what, I wish he would improve on this or that. The only thing that I can think of is that – wins are inconsistent from year to year, and obviously the Red Sox are a good team, but it wouldn't surprise me if he only ended up having, say, like 12 wins this year, or 13, and he had like a couple less than the 17 he had last year. But other than that, he's clearly one of the top options at pitcher this year. What are your thoughts on someone like a David Price this year? Is he someone that you want to avoid, or is he someone that you're going to try to jump on that bandwagon?
I don't mind the price too much as it currently is. It's going about 130th on average right now, so you're not having to pay the ace price for him. I'd like to hear a bit more about how he's looking health-wise. There hasn't really been any news. He kind of came out and he did pitch pretty well, partly in as a starter, partly in relief down the stretch last season. So maybe the elbow woes have gone away, but we went through most of last off season without hearing anything, and then suddenly it looked like he was going to have Tommy John, and then he wasn't. And that was one of the weirder injury situations I can remember for a while, to be honest. So I have some concerns over that. And he didn't really quite pitch to his ace level his first year in Boston either, although the peripherals were still great. So yeah, I don't mind taking a shot on him at that price, where you're kind of already into maybe looking at your third or fourth starter, depending on how you build your team. But yeah, there's certainly some injury concerns that I think I need to see him pitch again before I'm completely comfortable with saying those are past him.
Yeah, I'm not looking to touch David Price this year. I mean, I have confidence that he's the type of pitcher that could have a bounce back, but he just hasn't looked right. There's not a lot of confidence that I have in him at this current time. I'd rather someone else take the gamble unless he, like, significantly fell in draft price to me. But I think that there's other pitchers in this rotation that I'd rather have for their value over someone like a David Price. What are your thoughts on Drew Pomeranz and Rick Porcello this year? Do you expect them to have seasons like last year, or do you expect improvements in the whip department?
Yeah, I think Porcello can be a little bit better. I mean, he got super victimized by home runs last year. Not undeservedly, I don't think. I mean, that there weren't a lot of cheapies or anything, but I think he can make adjustments. We've seen him make adjustments before. I think he was using that sinker a bit too much, and I wonder if that's playing into all these guys with uppercut swings. That tends to be a great pitch if you've got that type of swing. So I think maybe if he can go away from that a bit more. We know that the strikeout to walk rate's going to be pretty good for him, and we've seen him have a great season in the last couple of years. So I think there's upside there, and he's not being drafted anywhere near like what he was last year, where he was kind of almost in the top 100, I think, by the end of draft season, which was way too rich for me. So I think he'll be a bit better. And Pomeranz, I'm kind of worried about. I was worried about him last year, and he actually had a pretty good year, but the fastball was way down late in the season. He lost a couple of miles per hour off it. Got absolutely crushed in the playoffs. I think he couldn't throw a fastball above 93, and he normally can touch 95, 96. So I worry that pitching back-to-back 170-inning seasons after basically never even hitting triple digits before is really taking its toll on him. And I think I'd like to see him certainly come back and pitch a bit before I would be willing to take him anywhere, because those were some pretty worrying velocity numbers for me.
Yeah, I mean, I personally prefer Pomeranz over Porcello just because of the fact that I think that he could easily have a better season, but at the same point in time, I'm kind of worried about both of them. I know that they both can get strikeouts and they're on a good team so they can get wins, but all the peripheral numbers kind of worried me, just like you were saying. I was a little bit worried about, you know, how the fly balls would come and the velocity. It makes me a little bit worried to come near them, but I think if I had to bank on someone having a better year, if they were both at the same draft value, I think it's Pomeranz. Is there any value in Eduardo Rodriguez for you this year? Or because of all the injuries, do you kind of want to avoid him?
No, I'd be interested in taking a shot. I mean, he's going well outside the top 300, so I think he's in that range where you can take a flyer on somebody and it's not going to matter too much if he doesn't pay off. The knee surgery that he had in October is basically to try and stop his knee dislocating, which keeps happening. That's not great for a pitcher. I think it's obviously interrupted him in terms of consistency at times. I think he's not been very confident in putting weight on it. And he's had these periods where he's looked extremely dominant, you know, striking out more than the batter per inning, runs of several starts of like sub three ERAs, and then he'll go out and get absolutely bombed for a couple of starts and then go on the DL. So I can see why people would want to stay away from him for injury reasons, but if this knee surgery has fixed that issue, then I think he could be an extremely dominant starter, and I kind of love the price on him at the moment.
Yeah, I understand the hype behind Rodriguez and the fact that he can get more than a strikeout per inning. I just was a little bit worried that the injuries may come in and affect his numbers. I mean, he had a little higher whip and ERA than I was hoping he would have, considering the start that he had to the year last year. But I know it is the type of talent that he could easily be the third best starter in this rotation if everything's clicking for him. It just needs to be on the correct page with his health. So if he's healthy, then I'm all on board. But obviously, I want to make sure that he's going to come back healthy from this most recent injury before I even come close to touching him. What are your thoughts on Kimbrel? Is he a top two closer for you coming into this year?
Yeah, I think so. I lost a bit of confidence in Chapman. He had several wobbles last season, and Kimbrel just looked so ludicrously filthy, striking out nearly 50% of batters, only walking 5.5%, nearly 20% swinging strike rate. He was just untouchable for most of the season. So, yeah, I think he's right up there with Jansen as the top two closers. And, yeah, I'm pretty confident. I know he's had stretches as well of not being quite so good with the command. But I think on his day, he's probably the most unhittable guy in baseball. So, yeah, I'm high confidence in him. And I think he's certainly worth drafting as one of the top two.
Yeah, for me, I think if I recall correctly, I have him as my third closer this year. I have him either as my third or my fourth closer, because I have Chapman and Jansen ahead of him. But I think that he's the type of pitcher who can almost get you two strikeouts per inning. He's going to get you a ton of saves. And because of the offense, if they ever get into extra innings, he's still going to be able to get you wins. It would be great to see him have another season like last year, because last year he was phenomenal. And obviously, he's going a little too high in a regular redraft for me to actually go and touch him, because I'm sure he's just going to go a lot sooner than I'm willing to pay the price. But last year he showed that, I mean, he almost had as great of a player rater status as what Chris Sale had, and that's coming from a reliever. And I understand saves come into that, but he had fantastic numbers. So, is there anyone else in this bullpen that interests you in any capacity?
Yeah, I mean, I think we could see if you're in a league that uses holds. I think Carson Smith has been in that role and got saves before as well. I think we could see him ascend fairly quickly up the order if he can return to his pre-Tommy John form. And we'll do the obligatory nod to Joe Kelly in his 102-mile-per-hour fastball. The stuff is there for him to be really good, but we'll see if he can ever come around in it. But I think that those guys are probably the guys to look at if you're looking for somebody who's going to get holds.
Yeah, I'm a Joe Kelly fan for the fact that I feel at some point within the next few years he could become a closer. But in all honesty, the fact of the confidence I have that he'll be the closer or put up any type of stats is going to be pretty slim. You're grabbing him for the fact that he can have low ratios and almost a K per inning. Carson Smith, if he's able to come back and actually be healthy, then he's someone who could easily have a K or better per inning with low ratio numbers. So those are the two guys that I'm most interested in. I understand neither of those guys are even quote-unquote a setup guy at this time. I mean, they have Tyler Thornburg and Matt Barnes as the setup people, and Matt Barnes has a lot of strikeout potential. But I'm not sure if he's going to be the type of person who would be able to come in and get consistent saves if Kimbrel was ever injured.
Yeah, I know a couple of Red Sox fans who spent almost every night last season cursing Matt Barnes' name, it seemed like. So they don't seem to have any confidence in him in high-leverage situations.
All right, Darius, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. You can find me a bunch of places, Baseball Prospectus, as I mentioned earlier. Also over at Banished to the Pen, where we'll be doing team previews over there. And you can also find me at Batflips and Nerds, which is a British-based website and podcast. So if you want to hear a bunch of British guys talking about baseball and getting everything wrong, then go and check that out too.
And you can reach me at BBrandsFWFB. You can find me twice a week on the Basketball Podcast with Eric Mackey. You'll be able to find me on a bunch of team previews throughout the rest of, well, for the remainder of the MLB offseason. You'll be able to find some of my written articles in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide. You'll find me during the regular season on the Coon and Friends podcast with Ray Coon and Evan Peterson. From the rest of us as Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball offseason, everyone.